In Proverbs 1:20-33, we heard about wisdom personified, Lady Wisdom, she's sometimes referred to. And as we move on to the third chapter of James's small letter this morning, which if you're following the reading calendar, you've read this week the whole book of James. James tells us what we're to do if we want to be able to know how to listen to wisdom. The second reading comes from the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. This is found on page 1883 in the Pew Bible, if you would like to read along. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. The word of God for the people of God. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. I bet Forrest Gump read Proverbs. You remember Forrest Gump, right? Tom Hanks's character in the movie by the same name. He was a pretty slow guy with a low IQ, but he never lets life get in his way, no matter what. He goes on the most unbelievable, exciting, wonderful adventures. He becomes a war hero. He runs across the country. He meets the president more than once, if I remember correctly. He marries his childhood sweetheart. And there are a few quotes from that movie that have become common in our vernacular in the 21 years since that movie came out. Run, Forrest, run. Can't tell you how many times I've seen that one on a sign on the sidelines of a marathon. Or life is like a box of chocolates. And of course, stupid is as stupid does. That's what Lady Wisdom in Proverbs and James in his letter seem to be telling us. Stupid is as stupid does. Or James specifically says, stupid is as stupid says. When we consult Lady Wisdom and James, we see that there is some kind of difference between head knowledge or book smarts and actual lived out wisdom. Now, while our buddy Forrest Gump is talking a little more generally, Lady Wisdom and James are specifically thinking about how we live out our lives in regards to our faith and what we know about and have experienced of God. Lady Wisdom is telling the people to stop acting like fools. The English word fools is a little bit weak for the Hebrew word that's actually used there. the people are acting like a bunch of goobers. And they're going to bring all sorts of yucky stuff down on themselves for being foolish. James is telling the people to stop talking like fools. Because words and actions both have power. And just one wrong word or misspoken idea, one small miscommunication can set a whole community on fire. The message is the same, however. The foolish will reap the consequences of their folly. Now, seeing as we've all been foolish from time to time, you will not convince me that you have never yourself been a fool. I know that we all have. This is a little discouraging to think about. Fortunately, the message is not that wisdom is unattainable. Yes, James does say that some people seem to be better than others at controlling their foolish words, and maybe they should be teachers, but the message is that we're all fools. But that wisdom is not in some far-off place on the top of a craggy, snowy, remote mountain like some levitating guru. Wisdom is not available only to the rich or to the smart or to the noble. Wisdom is standing in the middle of the crowded streets and at the city gates, shouting at the top of her lungs to anyone who will stop and listen. There's a saying that we have two ears and one mouth, so we should listen twice as much as we talk. Wisdom is calling us, and all we have to do is listen. James says that once we get control of our own tongues, other things start to fall in place. Our tongue is so little, we tend to forget about it. We use words so much that we take them for granted. But if we can change our words, control our tongues just a little bit, we find ourselves counted among the wise, among those who can hear wisdom calling. The idea of Lady Wisdom, as presented in Proverbs, is often connected to the Holy Spirit. Just as Jesus is the Word of God, wisdom is seen as being the Holy Spirit. Wisdom in Hebrew and spirit in Greek are both feminine words grammatically. So both are often talked about with feminine metaphors, like this idea of Lady Wisdom, standing on the streets and shouting to the people. If we can just control our own chatter for long enough, rein in our own foolish tongues, we can hear the Holy Spirit calling and guiding us. At my children's school, they have a great way of getting the kids' attention when there's a large group of children that they need to quiet down. It works on large groups of noisy parents as well. The teacher up front will say, "If you can hear my voice, clap once." And a couple of kids will stop talking because they heard it, and they'll clap once. And then the teacher will say, "If you can hear my voice, clap twice." And the first kids to clap before will clap twice, but this time more kids will clap too because they heard the first clap, and they now know that they should be paying more attention. So by the time that the teacher says, "If you can hear my voice, clap three times," the room is quiet and all of the children clap three times and are paying attention. It's like magic the way that that works. I can almost see Lady Wisdom in Proverbs standing on the street corner yelling, "If you can hear my voice, clap once." She's standing in the most prominent parts of town, just like the teacher on the stage in the Kaffa Gymnatorium at the school, yelling, "Pay attention! Who can hear me?" Can you blame her for raising her voice? Look at how many people are hurrying around her city, walking right past and ignoring her. They're like a bunch of unruly children running around the school gym. Here we are in a society that just loves knowledge and words. We love to have Google at our fingertips on our phones. We like to feel smart. We like to know more than the other people we're talking to. But in spite of all of our knowledge, the craziest stuff still happens around us. We're in this knowledge and fact-filled world. We still haven't solved poverty, racism, street violence, violence in the home, oppression, war, energy issues. So where have all these facts gotten us on their own? There's a difference between wisdom and knowledge that we tend to miss when we focus so much on striving just for more knowledge. We say that knowledge is power. But do all of the choices that we have around us when we're shopping to fill our heads with knowledge really help us out in the long run? Do they truly make us wiser or happier? Wisdom is admission that we do not and can never know it all. Wisdom is the admission that all the facts in the world are never going to solve our problems on their own. Wisdom is knowing when to admit that slinging facts at one another and getting angry isn't going to bring a debate to a resolution or even a friendly compromise. Wisdom is being willing to acknowledge that nobody is always right. This is where James comes in and says that the wise person watches what they say. Just because you're right or think you're right doesn't mean you have to keep talking. We learn and we grow and we love more when we stop to hear the other person's point of view than when we insist on arguing someone into the ground. Have you ever read the comments section of any online news article? I do not recommend it. It's usually just one long, angry list of competing facts followed by a bunch of name-calling and nobody actually changing their mind about anything. Fact after fact, with very little wisdom interjected. This especially becomes more prominent at this time in our presidential election cycle. Proverbs shows us people in the hustle and bustle, walking right past wisdom because they are so set on getting to the goal they have in mind. That's what I think about anytime I have the misfortune of reading the comments on some of these articles or any other online fact battle or debate, or even hear people having a heated argument over dinner about some hot button topic. They're like people so set on getting to the place that they want to go that they hurry right past wisdom and ignore her words to be careful and loving, godly and faithful in everything that you say and do. Friends, the world around us is changing. But that's nothing new. The world is always changing. It always has been changing. Cultures and languages and societies and empires have always been changing. Change around us is no new thing. But with the advances in technology and communication that we have seen in our lifetimes, it's much more visible than it ever has been before. We're more aware of the changes happening. And that can be unsettling. It's easier to be full of facts and harder to be wise when we have all sorts of information at our fingertips and when words and facts are all around us. We cling to them like an anchor when we feel change swirling around us. There's a gentle humility and a vast wisdom in knowing when to speak and when to listen, and in being able to stop and just listen to both sides, even when we're uncomfortable doing so, even when we know we're right, even when it might mean that we have to admit that things are going to change. Just as there are consequences for rash speech and actions, for talking too much and listening too little, there are consequences when we speak carefully and act purposefully, when we stop talking and start listening. The wise remember that all it takes to start a fire is one word. So choose each word carefully. The wise remember to stop and listen before rushing in to talk or to show off all the facts that they know. When we stop talking and start listening, we get to know the people around us and the lives that they have lived in a new and a deeper way. When we learn how to see things from another person's perspective, sometimes we find out that our facts are wrong or that their facts are just as right as our facts. We grow and we change. We become wise. We open ourselves up to see God moving in the world and in others. That is how we grow in wisdom and in the Spirit. Amen.